Part 2. What do Jehovah's Witnesses believe and teach? Already we have seen how the movement began, and already we have noted sadly how the founder, Charles Russell, moved away from the Orthodox Christian faith, which he learned from his father and mother, who were Congregationalists. When confronted concerning one particular doctrine, he had found himself floundering in his own beliefs and succumbing to unbelief, and began to form a new set of teachings after his own likings. Later, we found similarly, the movement did not like using the King James Authorized Bible, as it differed from their thinking in certain areas of doctrine. So what do? They composed their own Bible, the New World Translation. They did this supposing they had more knowledge of the original Greek and Hebrew than those fully trained who had brought the King James Authorized Version into being. Well, when you begin in this way, is it surprising when you learn that they go even further astray, as we shall see in today's study? Only recently I put a question to four witnesses to give you an idea of their thinking. I asked them a question. If you were visiting a home where someone was very unwell, in fact dying, and only had a short time to live, what would be the most important Bible truth to share with them? One said, well, I would turn them to the prophecy of Isaiah, where we read that Jehovah is the name of God. Interesting, I replied. The second man, who was also an elder or a teacher within the ranks of Jehovah's Witnesses, had little to say. The new trainees with them both said, wow, that's a good question. What would you say to them? Now, remember that this person is shortly leaving this world and he needs to be prepared for eternity. So I went to the account in the book of Acts of the conversion of the Philippian jailer, when he asked Saul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And you may remember he received a very straight answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 31. So what was the result? That very same night, not only the jailer, but his whole family were saved and baptized, having taken the short step in faith and obeyed the scriptural way of salvation. I am convinced the only faith the witnesses had on the day I spoke to them was trusting in the fact that I belonged to an organization who alone professed to hold the complete truth, and who say of themselves that we are the only organization equipped to understand and teach the Bible. However, if you ask them if they have an assurance of hope, an assurance of salvation or an eternal life, they will reveal to you they do not have it. So, what do Jehovah's Witnesses believe? First, they tell us they are the only organization that are directed by God's Spirit. To them alone, they say, God reveals His sacred truth. They alone are equipped with apparent gifted evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I quote from their writings. There is no other organization that is doing the divine will of God or is educating people for eternal life. No other organization? And that is from the Watchtower, 1st of July, 1973, pages 402, 404, 406. How gifted were these people to help a man who was dying to show him the way to heaven? Why didn't John 14:6 come to mind easily? It is so clear, isn't it? Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Secondly, Jehovah's Witnesses tell us the Bible is of no private interpretation. I quote again. The Bible is an organization book. It belongs to the organization, not to individuals regardless. How sincere they believe, they cannot interpret the Bible without the aid of Watchtower Notes. Watchtower, 1st of October 1967, page 587. So whatever we say to them about what the Bible says, because it is someone else telling them outside of their own organisation, they will not receive it, but close their ears, even if we quote directly from the Bible. They are conditioned not to take it in. Thirdly, you must join the organisation in order to receive salvation. Again, I quote from their writings. Any person who wants to survive into God's righteous new order urgently needs to come into the right relationship with Jehovah and his earthly organisation now. Watchtower, 15th of November 1981, pages 16 and 17. So what they are saying is, whatever church you may belong to, or I may belong to, whatever faith we say we have in God's word, its teachings, its promises, whatever experiences we have from the Holy Spirit working in our lives, is of no good to us unless we join the Jehovah Witness organization. Finally, in ending this second lesson, just listen to what they say about their organization and notice the marks of an organization which they say is true to God. They say, we fulfill all these requirements. So here are these seven principles. Now will you please think carefully as you read or listen and see if you can believe whether they do indeed keep to these principles. A. Exalt Jehovah as the true God. B. Recognize Jesus' vital role in Jehovah's purposes. C. Adhere closely to God's word. D. Keep separate from the world. E. Maintain a high level of moral cleanliness. F. Preach the good news. G. Cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, life. They say anyone who rejects their organization, having once begun in it, is in fact shunning God, and such people will be shunned by all other Jehovah Witnesses and will not receive the reward of eternal life. Now that's written in their Watchtower production, September 15, 1981. Pages 25 and 29. Next time, we shall see why no one is allowed to question Watchtower policy and what indeed the Bible has to say about that. So I leave you with these questions. Do they really exalt Jehovah as the one true God? Do they really recognize Jesus' vital, crucial role in the purpose of Jehovah to save his people from their sins? Do they really adhere closely to God's word, or only the words they have included to justify their own teachings? Doesn't the Bible warn us about tampering with God's word and either adding or subtracting from it? And do they preach the good news as found in Romans 1 verse 16, where Paul the Apostle writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that's from the Amplified Version. So, see you next time.